You know, most brands today talk about purpose as being central to what they need to be. And that's driven primarily because the audiences today, or rather consumers today, demand purpose from the brands whom they interact with, purchase, just kind of like make part of their world. And to kind of dig into that, what I thought would be interesting is speak to a brand whose entire core is actually is built on purpose, right? It's built around wellness and built upon being mindful and yoga and everything else. And this is a brand which I kind of have seen sporadically over time, but I've actually, when I looked at it and realized the vastness of what it actually is, I thought it could be an interesting conversation to dig into. The brand I'm talking about is Sarva, right? And I have Sarvesh Sashi, the founder, on the show today. And what I wanted to talk to him about was not just about his journey, not just about how he's not reimagined yoga, but repackaged it for the audience of today and kind of built not just a physical product in the sense that something you go to as a studio, but really as something that you can experience in whichever way, in whichever mind space, in whichever instance that you want to, in different ways, and kind of understand what a business built around mindfulness is, built around yoga and all the other stuff that Sarva does. That's what we have on this week's episode of Where Does It Get Red. I'm Varun Dugirala, co-founder and co-chief of The Glitch, and we'll be right back with this. Welcome back to Advertising is Dead with Sarvesh. So, Sarvesh, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
And one of the first things I was asked when I was saying that you were coming on the show to someone I knew, the show's called Advertising is Dead. And why do you have Sarvesh on it? And I said, most businesses today talk about having purpose behind what they're doing because the audience today demands purpose from a brand. But purpose kind of is your brand, right? If your brand is centered around on a set of things that is genuinely purpose at its core, is that how you'd put it?
Firstly, who is this person who said that? Why are you having Sarvesh?
No, it's interesting. Someone said that. People always ask me this question, right? They ask me this consistently, saying, your show's called Advertising Instead, but you seldom call people from advertising. Those are splattered across. But I'm like, the reason why the is dead part is there is because that entire space is kind of blended into so many things that every part of the world now is advertising, and it's no longer one segmented industry to itself, is the logic.
Yeah, so I think I divide my life into two parts. One is a life before 17 and the other is a life after 17. Before 17, I describe my life with the three A's, which is arrogance, attitude and anger. Fortunate enough to be born in a well-off family. Dad runs 17 different companies, which has no advertising at all, but we still do an annual revenue of about $220 million. Mm-hmm. But at the age of 6, as every little Indian boy wanted, I wanted to play cricket for the country and win the World Cup. Played cricket for the longest time of my life. Played some fairly decent amount of professional cricket. Played for Tamil Nadu. Traveled with the IPL for 3 years. I hadn't signed for any team, but I traveled with Rajasthan Royals for 2 years and Cochin Tuskers for the only year that they were there in the IPL time. Did yoga because my parents thought yoga will help me balance better and get me more focused. At the age of 17, my dad took up this yoga class. Paid a lot of money to this teacher who had long hair, long beard, orange clothes, came from Haridwar, and said that, you know what, I can't continue the sessions because I'm traveling, and why don't you just get done with it because I've paid a lot of money. I said, for sure, why not, I'll get done with it. I was very intrigued as a child about enlightenment because I thought if I opened my third eye, I'll play for the country faster. But when I spoke
everything
to my...
Everything eventually comes, like one
center point, which is cricket. And then my teacher told me, the first thing that he told me was, Sarvesh, if you ever thought I can enlighten you, you are a fool and I'm a bigger fool. That kind of hit me hard. You know, that was my purpose moment. Like, wow, this guy's being very honest. I really like him. He could have told me, fall at my feet, I'll show you a halo of light around your head and stuff. But instead he said this. Then I went to my dad and I said, Dad, I really like him. Can I continue his class? My dad said, of course, it's a good thing, continue. That's how my journey into active yoga with a teacher, with a guru started. And for the first 1 year, I started doing a lot of sadhanas, which are called disciplines in Sanskrit, for 10 days, 11 days, 21 days, and 40 days. So I've gone Maunvrat for 40 days, completely silent, no talking, no music, no TV, no phones, no nothing at all. Sit at home, meditate for 6 to 9 hours a day. Yeah. I've done that for 10 days. I've done Vipassana. I've done a bunch of stuff. One fine day, he came and told me that, listen, you're doing fantastic. When I was 18, I'm going to be giving you 5 precepts in life. Will you follow it? I said, what are these 5 precepts? He said, no, first tell me, will you follow it? I said, of course I'll follow it. So I said, okay, tell me what they are. So he said, the first precept is no intoxication, which is no alcohol, no smoking, and non-veg. Okay. Alcohol and smoking was easy, never done it until 18, but I'm a mallu, hardcore meat eater. Yeah. Then I said, fine, okay. The second one was non-violence. Non-violence through actions, thoughts, and words. So I don't remember the last time I even killed a mosquito. Okay. Third one was no mental and physical stealing. Physical stealing is you physically steal. Mental stealing is, oh, you have a nice watch, I want to have it. Jealousy, greed, etc. Fourth one was no lying. I can't even white lie. So if I'm late because I overslept, I'm late because I overslept, not because there was traffic on the road. Fifth one was by far the most difficult because of my age, which was celibacy. And I assumed all of this was for 40 days, and I rhetorically told my teacher, haan Guruji, 40 din ke liye kar denge. He said, Sarvesh, 40 din nahi, 7 saal. I'm like, wait, 7 saal meaning 7 years? He said, yeah. I said, but isn't that like my prime time to do, if not all, clearly a couple of things in it?
You at some point did not say that, 1 second, you should have told me the points before you made me commit to it.
Yeah, exactly. So then he said, Sarvesh, yes, it is your prime time, but to look into yourself. So I said, okay, fine, I'll do it. For the first 1.5 years, I was purely doing everything to prove him wrong. But it's been about 10 years now. It'll become 10 years on April 15th, which is when I was born. I've not broken any of it at all. In the first 3 years, that kind of changed the way I thought about a lot of things, with work, with personal life, social life, professional, everything. And that made me realize that India is a country. There are 500 million people under the age group of 35.
Yeah.
Stress, anxiety, depression is becoming a global epidemic. UK has a minister for loneliness in their cabinet. And how can I make a difference in people's lives? And because I was a very different person before 17. And I said, great. I think when my dad wanted me to get into his business, I tried going. But by the time I started going into his companies, I started feeling that the concept I had developed for myself, which is called the 6 P's, I didn't relate to a lot of it. So I said, okay, now what is the best reason I could give him to not get into his business was to tell him I'm starting my own.
Yeah.
So when I began, I said, the purpose is to make a difference in people's lives, is to connect 7 billion breaths. And that's how I kind of began the business, which was around wanting to create an ecosystem of wellness.
If you look back at the time you started your company off to now, how have you seen that? For instance, when you started off, it was still, and while there are different times when people say that, okay, for lack of a better way to put it, yoga was a thing, it was always perceived as something that was
boring,
older, mythical. Like I think the conversation we had before we started recording, I was telling about how my grandfather used to do it, and he's the one who pushed me towards doing it.
And after that, you also said how happy he was.
So those things, when I look at that time and now, very weirdly, once Western culture embraced yoga is when we started embracing it again. So over the time since you started, Sarvav, how has that transition been for you? Have you seen that? How has that kind of worked?
So I think there was and continues to be a lot of myths around yoga. Like yoga is only for people above 40. Yoga is only for women.
Yeah.
Oh, yoga karna hai, main subah nahi uthta hu. I don't get up early in the morning.
Correct.
I'm not flexible. I can't do yoga. So I think all of these are just pure myths. It's like telling somebody that, oh, you don't have a six pack, you can't go to the gym. I mean, you go to the gym to, you know, get an ab or, you know, become muscular or strength, etc.
Yeah.
So you go for a yoga class to become flexible. And I genuinely believe that has changed a lot. Yes, like you rightly said, India is the birthplace of yoga. I mean, I'm not naming the person, but somebody recently wrote on Twitter very nicely that they said Harvard or Stanford, one of the Ivy League university, said deep breathing helps you relax your body. And this person commented saying that was called pranayama 5,000 years ago. So I think
it's like when someone says turmeric latte, right? Latte. Now I'm like, guys,
hey guys, absolutely. Yeah, you know, it's about being the whole organic part of it. I think it's just how well you're able to package it from a commercial angle is what, you know, if you're looking at commercially trying to do something. I think the Westerners have packaged it really well.
Yeah.
And they've also sold it quite well. And the benefits are also fantastic. Like, you know, whether it's $3.2 trillion economy in the wellness, you know, wellness is a $3.2 trillion business today, and wellness tourism, wellness this, wellness that, and all of it together.
Yeah.
And now it's slowly coming back to India, and people are understanding that yoga is becoming a more lifestyle and not just a 1 hour practice.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've seen our average age 3 years ago was 46.
Yeah.
Today's 31.
Mm-hmm.
Our the world over female male ratio in a yoga class is about 85-90 to 10-15. Ours is 67% female, 33% male. The reason people come for a yoga class in our studios is largely because they want to lose weight or burn calories, but they end up staying because they're sleeping better, they're becoming more calmer, etc. So I think the benefits of a practice which is called yoga is starting to be seen holistically and not just that, oh, it's boring. Is there misconceptions? Absolutely, yes. And will there be misconceptions? I think so. But the whole idea is to say, hey, you know what? We're not test cricket, we're T20.
I like how there's a cricket analogy towards all things in life can become a cricket analogy.
Absolutely. I think Anil Kumble or VVS Lakshman, one of them had given a very cool business angle to how 11 players make a team and how the wicketkeeper looks from back. It was a fabulous kind of a talk here.
Also, if you look at any true wellness company in today's world, you're also a predominantly large content company, right? Because what you're putting out is not just the experience that is there in your studios, it's also really what, you know, you're putting out there across social media, across all of that. I'm sure when you started off, that wasn't a large part of what your focus would have been. But over time, how has that organically become a part of what you do? How has that kind of...
The best part has been when I started off versus what I'm doing even now, there's no significant difference. Because when I started off, my target audience was the 17-year-olds. It still remains the 17 to 24.
Was it conscious that your target audience
very
was
conscious? Sent? See, test cricket was real cricket, right?
Yeah.
And only cricket lovers would watch it full 5 days and so on.
Yeah.
T20 changed that whole thing.
Hmm.
T20 didn't change the concept. You don't play cricket with a bat, you play cricket with a racket. It didn't say that, right? It didn't say, you know, it's not 11 players, it's only 3 players game.
Yeah.
It kept the fundamentals. So what we say as brand pillars is we are authentic, which is from the classical textbooks, which is the Hatha Yoga Pradipika, and there's a couple of more. And from the classical textbooks, we said we are authentic, but we are modern, hence we become accessible. And this 3 brand pillars can only be put out there if you are able to generate great quality content that's accessible to people. We started with physical stores. Then we're moving on to the whole digital space, where today a 16-year-old can say, listen, can I go and do yoga while I'm in the car or while I'm flying on a plane?
Yeah.
Or can I do yoga for getting better at cricket or better at running? So on and so forth. Mm. So in a nutshell, we would love what we are, you know, envisioning to become is the Netflix of wellness. So today you're going, you know, if you're like bored or you want to binge watch, you go to one of the platforms. Netflix is kind of created that niche there, saying you binge watch with Netflix, etc. I think a lot of that credit goes in India to y'all as well. So
small part.
A lot of it at least, because I think India is not a very easy market for, you know, to crack in terms of paid subscriptions and so on. So what we want to become is a Netflix of wellness, which content will play an important role. So we'll have like we have a series done saying how do you do yoga probably while brushing your teeth. I mean, I'm not saying that do yoga while brushing your teeth, but how can you probably stand in a tree pose, which will activate a bunch of things in your body, and how very, very small things. These are all hacks which will benefit. So probably the potential yoga lovers who follow a certain type of practice or follow a certain school may not like us. Like not all test cricketers love T20. So we will continue to have that love-hate game, but we're very happy. As long as we're changing people's lives, we're super happy about that.
When you talk about how to package it together, right, is really what you've really focused on. What's interesting is the fact that, again, going back to what I was saying a little earlier, saying that when someone in the West repackaged it and said there was, let's say, power yoga, or there was hot yoga, and there have been multiple versions of those. Sometimes I don't look at it as repackaging, I call it updating it for the times.
Yeah.
How do I make it more relevant in terms of how I am today? Not taking away from what the essence of what it really stands for. And that goes for any, I mean, it's not just from a wellness perspective, for anything.
Anything.
How do you update for the times? How do you make yourself relevant? What have you kind of learned from the audience who's kind of come into your studios? Who've been, so in terms of how has your perception of how they function changed over the years? How have you seen that?
So I think one large reason, two things I'd say. One thing is, from a physical store, we were wanting to be very relevant, mm-hmm. and we wanted to cut a lot of myths that people had, right? Yoga mm-hmm. is boring, mm-hmm. it's the same thing I do every day, etc. So first we began with doing that. In a month, except for your four Sundays, 26 yeah. days will be 26 different classes.
Yeah.
For example, Surya Namaskar authenticity is Surya Namaskar. Mm-hmm. Modernity is, we added a prop and we said, listen, let's do Surya Namaskar with dumbbells right now.
Mm-hmm.
So you probably are a gym goer. You're like, wow, you can do it with dumbbells. I'd love to come and try it twice a day.
Yeah.
I mean, twice a week at least. So we made it modern. Hence, it became accessible and relevant to a modern age person.
Yeah.
And that's why even 12, 13-year-olds started liking it. We have aerial yoga.
Mm.
We have yoga on a paddle board, which is you go to the sea on a surfboard and we're doing yoga there.
Yeah.
And these all became really popular amongst a lot of people, which had different kind of tinkering down effects of men coming in, youngsters coming in, so on and so forth. So we made that very, very cool, very, very appealing. We added a lot of color to the brand.
Yeah.
We typically, when you think of yoga, it's white and serene and all of that. We said, listen, yoga is fun. Second thing that we did was we created a community amongst people.
Yeah.
Because I believe any brand today needs to build a community. You know, whether your product, service, whatever, Apple is a community.
True.
I mean, how much ever you talk about phones, it's a community.
Yeah.
Airbnb is a community.
Yeah.
So we're saying, how can yoga become a community of people? The best, then an amazing example, and I'm very fortunate to be working with them so closely because they're investors in the company, is Zumba.
Hmm.
Zumba is not a form of dance.
Yeah.
They're a company. They're the world's largest dance fitness program company in the world. They're in 177 countries.
Yeah.
15 million people practice Zumba every week.
Yeah.
And Zumba's become a verb. And we wanted to make yoga the Zumba, right? I thought we had the hands and legs of what Zumba had to make it cool, fun, etc.
Yeah.
And we're trying to make yoga more relatable, accessible, etc.
When you say building a community, what's also interesting is you kind of built a community of investors as well, the way I look at it. If I kind of count the names, and should I count this or should I have a feeling you should do this. Because
you can do it.
I'll try to come up with some. I did read that. So I know that JLo is an investor.
Jennifer Lopez.
Sorry. Yes.
They've all invested.
All invested. Yes.
Yep.
I know that Malaika is an investor. And you also have a separate set of studios.
Which is where India's only women-only studio, which is Diva Yoga. So Malaika is
the co-founder
in Diva.
Mm-hmm.
And also plays a super important role in Sarva too.
Ah, okay.
And she's also like a co-founder to me in Sarva. So I bounce off a lot of thoughts and ideas with Malla, and her attention to detail is just super significant. Yeah, so Malla Karora is another
one.
I'm
going to leave the rest of the names to you.
Me, okay. So Jennifer Lopez invested.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to reiterate
that.
So like I was telling you, we wanted to be the Zumba of dance,
the
Starbucks of coffee and Airbnb and so on. So we said, I was telling one of my partners, saying that, you know what, this is what our dream is. So he said his really close friend is one of Zumba's early investors, shareholders and directors.
Mm-hmm.
I think he can help us. So I went to him, showed him a small video that we had done. He saw it and he was like, wow, this exactly has the hands and legs of what Zumba has. So my partner said, yes, you should meet the founder. Then I flew in to London. I met this person called David Giampaolo,
mm-hmm.
who's known as one of London's most networked and influential person by Times Magazine and Financial Times. He then said, listen, this is the first time ever I think I can make a difference in people's lives and also make money. So I can be a capitalist by doing good, like doing impact for human good, etc. So he introduced us to a guy called Mark Mastroff, who's known as the Steve Jobs of fitness, who sold his company for $1.5 billion in cash. His really close friends were Alex and Jennifer. And I'm calling Alex and Jennifer as if I've met them thrice now. So he introduced us to Alex and Jennifer. We went and met them, and I think they were super welcoming as people. And they loved the whole mental wellness, the whole story about wellness. They loved the story about India.
Mm-hmm.
And I do give some credit to me too. So all this put together, I think the influence of Mark And then us meeting them all put together is why they probably said that I think it's a great venture to build, invest in. And I don't know whether there has ever been somebody from Hollywood this large investing in an Indian company. I have not heard of it, but yeah. So that is Jennifer Lopez and Alex Rodriguez. We have Malika Arora. We have Shahid Kapoor and Meera Kapoor as investors. We've got, we have a cricketer who I can't name because it's not yet out. We have Aishwarya Dhanush, who's Rajinikanth's daughter. She's invested. And then we've got a bunch of people from the advertising world, from the finance world, from the legal world, and so on, globally and in India. We've got about 19 people from globally and outside India, and we've got about 25 odd Indian investors.
What I found interesting about this, and I think this is something we spoke of before we started recording, was the fact that a lot of these investments happened not just because it was a company that was doing well, had the right focus, was building the right thing, also because it had the sense of, I go back to that word, purpose, right?
Correct.
Which everyone related to and said, okay, one second, well, it's you're balancing out the business aspect.
Purpose
as well
and profit.
As, purpose, profit. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. And that, very weirdly enough, is tough to crack in today's world without being authentically so. Because if you don't, if you're not authentically so, people call you out. And that's actually one of the core things. Like, for instance, whenever a brand says, I want to show that what is our purpose, my point always has been the fact that if you don't genuinely have purpose, and if you aren't going to follow through and actually show it and not just say it, then it's never really going to be a thing for you. Is that how you would look at the entire space? If you have to look a little outward and look at, because everyone talks about purpose today, right? Everyone talks about, okay, I want to, you know, we want to have almost a soul to a brand and put it out as we want to change the world. But do you see that in reality across?
See, in reality across, a lot of people talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I have a vision, mission, etc., etc. Yeah. But at the end of the day, they end up doing what's relevant to that, which is where I think the kind of break happens largely. Because what I believe is, whatever you started off for, whatever company, whether it's tech, non-tech, service, product, etc. Somebody very recently told me this kind of statement. He said, companies with purpose last, brands with purpose grow, and people with purpose thrive. So this is the kind of order. And one, it's not only about having a purpose, it's about ensuring that this purpose is mixed with the following, according to me, which is, you have a purpose, you need to understand whether you're passionate about that purpose. It's not, oh, I want to change 100 million lives, but I mean, I like to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Are you really passionate about that purpose? After that, do you genuinely believe there is enough potential out there that your purpose can become a business?
Yeah.
I mean, I can have 100 purposes, but at the end of the day, your purpose needs to become a business.
Yeah.
So the third P is actually potential. And potential in two ways, in yourself and out there in the market.
Yeah.
The fourth P in my six P's is product. Can you build a great product, which is again linked to purpose, whatever your purpose is. Fifth P is, can you find the right people with the right purpose?
Most important part.
Absolutely. People will make or break your business.
Yeah.
Right. So can you find the right people who can thrive with this purpose?
Yeah.
Who actually says what is that purpose, and are they, is it trickling down?
Yeah.
Does the CEO of the business say happy morning, and the, you know, the housekeeping who's beautifully cleaning the space also says happy morning when they see us?
Yeah.
So how does that get drilled down completely? And the sixth P is profit. So for me, the six P's were supposed to be in this order. So I believe that a lot of people out there are talking about purpose. A lot of people know bits and pieces of it, including me. It's not that I've kind of cracked it and I'm like killing it or whatever. People think, always ask me, what is the one success mantra and what is the one advice? I said, I mean, I'm nobody to give advice. I'm nobody to give any success mantras. I've been fortunate. And I think all of that kind of gets down to the five precepts that I follow. I mean, it's just doing the right thing and making it relevant and finding the right people. I mean, you may have a great purpose, but if you hire wrong people, I mean... You're out. I mean, it's over.
You mean, speak about product, right? products around wellness in the entire space have really scaled across the world.
Correct.
And you have a bunch of those kind of scaling out. I mean, there is the app that is coming out.
That's right.
Come out.
It's live on Android and iOS. It's called Sarva.
And then there is a bunch of other pieces. There is your athleisure brand. Then there is, are you trying to be the Peloton of yoga? Is another question there. Because when I was looking at the product, can I experience doing yoga in my home but also have that entire, go beyond that? The first brand kind of came to my mind was Peloton, and I was like, that's like...
Well, I think Peloton has done an amazing job in whatever they've built, whether it's their product, whether it's their streaming, etc. Yeah. I don't know whether we want to be a Peloton, for that matter, anybody in that, you know, whole thing, right? Because when people ask me, do you have competition? My answer always is, in the business of wellness, more the merrier, because you're making a difference in people's lives. And we as a brand, what does one of our lines says, we're a wellness ecosystem built on the authentic foundation of yoga.
Oh.
So we've got four large categories. One is the body, which is your physical stores.
Yeah.
And we also have body in the app, which is video on demand. Mm-hmm. And we're coming up with very cool products in the whole yoga working out live and yoga being interactive, where the computer tells you that you're right, you're wrong, etc.
Yeah.
Then we have mind, where we have a bunch of sleep stories, mindfulness music, motivational talks, laughter therapies, and so on. Then we have Nourish, which is going to be food recipes and skincare tips.
Okay.
Again, based on yoga, your turmeric lattes.
Yeah.
And the fourth one is Gear, which is the athleisure piece that you're seeing. So we're wanting to develop an ecosystem. We want to acquire customers to our store, get them onto our app, and then slowly from there, their family, their friends, and their people, understanding why yoga is a lifestyle and not a one-hour practice. Mm. So we'll probably take that route, because you need to acquire consumers and you can't keep acquiring them in multiple ways.
Yeah.
So all our retail stores will become retail outlets for our merchandise. Their respected members will be on the app, and their family will be on the app, their friends.
It's the experience of it, right?
It's the experience.
You can extend it into any direction that... And that's actually, I'm actually looking at how you've kind of built this whole thing out. And what is interesting is that this is typically, if I have to compare this with what an Apple does, it's extending the experience. It's just that you want to experience what the brand is. But you want to experience in your own way, at your own time, and whatever your mind space is at that point of time. It could be like, we say, go for a live class. In some case, okay, I don't have time to go for a live class. I will do it off the app. And at the end of the day, the whole point is to actually feel mindful, right?
What do you think mindful means?
That's an interesting one. I actually don't know. I can't put that down. I'll be very honest. Being honest about that. But so I have, in all honesty...
What do you think yoga means?
Yoga's? Damn.
So three questions.
Three questions.
One is what does mindful mean?
Okay. In general?
To you.
Okay.
What does yoga mean? And what does spirituality mean?
Okay.
And very relevant to advertising too.
I'll start with the... With the last one, right? Spirituality for me has always been... So, growing up, my perception of spirituality was, it's religious, right? And while... Am I religious? I am, in whichever way I am. I'm not hardcore, but I am religious. But I've always felt that to be at kind of peace with the world for me is spiritual. Like, am I doing something good for someone else? Makes me feel like I'm doing right by... I don't know if that's the right word, but that's how I define spirituality for myself.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
Being mindful is actually about, do I have peace of mind? Which is generally for someone like me, where I don't necessarily, I have a problem in focusing on one thing for too long, and I try to do 50 things at the same time. So for me, trying to find a way to just calm my mind down is me being mindful. And what is yoga? Yoga for me honestly started a way to lose back pain. I'm being automatically on, but what I've enjoyed about it is so I try to do yoga once a week, because I go to the gym the rest of the week. But for me, that one day in the week is where I actually feel that, you know, your body becomes really stiff through the week. It kind of opens out.
When do you do yoga in the week?
Depends. But morning, not, I can't do like, I've tried to.
I had a very interesting conversation with one of our investors' friends in London. He said he does yoga every Wednesday, because every Wednesday is the mid of the week, and in the mid of the week he wants to be balanced, so he's trying to do the balance in the balanced part of the week, which is a Wednesday. I'm like, okay.
Mine tended to be Sunday a lot, but now it just moves around. Now it's but it's literally that I feel the most refreshed physically after I finish yoga. But I still enjoy the gym, so I don't not do that. So I don't know if my answers are.
Yeah, so I think, I mean, like I said, it was more what it meant to you. Spirituality to begin with means adhyatmak in Sanskrit, which means apne taraf ana, which means coming to oneself, which means focusing on you. That's spirituality.
And I said the opposite.
That's all right. So spirituality means you're knowing the now. It's in the now. Mindful again means same. Mindful is, you touch parts. You shouldn't, when you're doing, how do you do one thing at a time and be 100% on that one thing?
Mm-hmm.
How do you live in the now? Because today, anybody has any problem or any concerns or any anxiety or anything, it's largely because of two things. Mm-hmm. One, because of yesterday, which has already happened and you can't change it.
Yeah.
Or because of tomorrow, which is yet to happen, which you don't have control over.
Yeah.
So mindful is about being in the present. Yoga means unification of the mind, body and soul, which will make you become spiritual, which is yoga means you're uniting everything, being in the now, being in the present. I'm talking to you right now.
Mm.
My only thought should be you. Your only thought should be me. And that's being mindful, being spiritual and the benefits of yoga.
See, your answer is much better than mine.
Right? I don't know about that, but I think, like I said, it's to each is his or her own, and as long as it's doing good, we love to keep it that way.
Yeah.
But yes, the actual meaning is what I said.
What I've also noticed over time is the fact that what you do on social media, especially across your campaigns, is you're not just talking about the product, but you're also talking about the purpose across certain campaigns. You did this piece around Valentine's Day. You just had something that came out on Women's Day. When I look at those pieces, I'm like, at some point, it's an extension, but it's not necessarily something that is, it's not necessarily the brand, but it's actually what you stand for and kind of extending that across. Is that how we would put it?
Yeah, I think every campaign that we kind of tend to do, we have very clear approaches. We ask ourselves and the team whether the approach is brand or whether the approach is footfalls, which is either, user acquisition, right? Whether it's at the studios or whether it's for the app.
Yeah.
And once that is answered clearly, then we drill down even further and say, okay, if it's for user acquisition for the app, which route do we want to go? But whichever route we take, we will not do anything that is kind of completely offbeat our purpose or whatever, right? Like, for example, we are not going to say, hey, you know what? We're not going to be inclusive. Accessibility is going to be a brand pillar. We will not do only this for only this person.
Oh.
If that is there as a campaign workshop, we'll do something else for kids also. We'll do something else for senior citizens also.
Yeah.
So on and so forth. So whenever we do brand campaigns and user acquisition strategies or whatever, we very clearly differentiate, is it a brand thing or is it a user acquisition thing?
Yeah.
And then accordingly take it forward. Like Women's Day was more what's happening with women today in the world, but everybody was talking about that and no one was speaking about what they do after all of that too. So then, this agency came up with this thought and we said we'd love to collaborate, and we collaborated and we came up with that video.
Yeah.
And likewise, the Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day, everybody talks about going on a date with other people, etc. We said, hey, you know what? Let's change this. Let's speak about how important is self-care and self-love.
Yeah.
And that again stems up from making yoga a lifestyle.
Yeah. When you talk about self-care and self-love, right? One of the things that I feel the modern workplace suffers from and has suffered from a lot has been mental health, right? I feel like it's always been there, but I think it's come to the forefront a lot more now. But it's also a mixture of the world we live in today with everything that goes around. Which is also why I feel a lot of young people are moving towards being mindful, finding ways to on one point get help, but other ways to also find help within. Is that something that you guys focus on as a brand a lot more now than you did early on? Are you seeing that you need to speak about it a lot more?
I think our digital platforms will talk about it a lot more, because people are coming in the front saying they've been depressed, they're anxious, etc. But I don't think there's any harm at all. People need to come out more often out there and say, hey, you know what? I have this problem.
Yeah.
So what?
I
have this, because unless the first step to change is acceptance.
Mm.
Unless you accept that there is a problem,
yeah,
whether it's advertising, whether it's the normal world, whether it's cricket, whether it's social, whether it's anything that you're doing, you need to first accept whether I have a problem. No, this is what it is.
Yeah.
Understand what the reality is and then move forward.
Yeah.
The lack of acceptance leads into many problems. Yeah. Lack of acceptance leads into being in a state of, oh my God, what happened? What happened to me? What happened to me? This happened when I was young. That happened when I was young. Yeah, it happened. Can you change it? No. So how do you change it? How do you start leading a better life? You go ask for help. You go ask for advice. You go ask for opinions. Unless you ask, what I say, even in my team meetings, etc., is the answer is a no.
Hmm.
You need to come out there. And this coming out there is getting better, but people are still kind of confined to, oh, what will people think of me? It's fine. Yeah. Let people think whatever they want.
What will people think of me is the biggest problem.
Yeah, that's, you are wanting external validation.
Hmm.
People are wanting, are scared of what they will think, are scared of being judged.
Hmm.
It's all right. I mean, it's all right. I mean, people will listen to this and say, hey, it's easier said than done. He had a great life. How do you know what life I had?
Yeah.
Nobody knows what life you had. Nobody knows what life I had.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, what matters is you're going to show up, be yourself, be happy about it. Because what is the problem? Why are you worried? I mean, like, what are you going to get out of being worried? Accept it. Let's figure out a solution. Let's go for what is going to be helping you to change and move forward.
Mm-hmm.
So our physical stores still are very physical in nature,
mm-hmm.
which is in terms of people come for weight loss, et cetera, et cetera. But from a digital standpoint, because digital is what the accessibility word kicks in, which we'll be talking a lot about guided meditations and sleep stories and motivational speeches by really, really known people in the industry and a bunch of people who come who are influential and celebrity driven and all of that have been very, very kind to come forward and kind of be a part of this movement that we are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're fairly certain that with the authenticity factor that we play, we'll be able to make a difference in people's lives as such.
What do you look for when you want to bring someone into your team, right? And that's especially tricky because we talked a lot of young people in this through this podcast, right? And they all want to understand what works for them when they come into the workplace scenario or trying to find a job. And I think it's especially important if they're working for a brand that has a very strong belief system to know what they need to stand for. Not even stand for, I think what they need to be like.
So I think the first question that we kind of ask is what's their purpose as well? Like, what do they want to do? If not for the rest of their life, at least for a short period. Like, what do they want to do in life for the next 2-3 years? If they say, oh, you know what, I want to make a lot of money, et cetera, et cetera, then we kind of take the conversation very differently. Because for us, trusting the brand and trusting the purpose is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Respecting the purpose and the brand is very important. And loving the brand and purpose is important. Because if trust, love and respect been a center point of between the brand and the person,
mm-hmm.
people can thrive. And when the person comes in, the three key things that we keep talking is about respect, freedom, and ownership. I mean, we give you that respect, we give you that ownership, that freedom is there. Kind of make mistakes.
Hmm.
We'll say, listen, make mistakes, fail, it's all right, but never not try. So we say, listen, okay, fine, you've been recruited at this level. Two things, the two R's is what we call it. Don't have any damage on reputation. When you fail, and don't have any damage on revenue, which is numbers.
Mm.
And when I mean numbers is I'm saying, okay, you have a limit of X thousand or X lakhs or whatever.
Mm.
It's fine if you fail in that bandwidth.
Yeah.
Because unless you try, you're not going to, I mean, we may come up with 100 ideas.
Basically, 100 break the chair, don't break the dining room.
Yeah, basically. Exactly. Break the chair, don't break the dining room. Exactly. Yeah.
You're towards the end of every episode, we do this thing called Humans of Advertising, right? This is me trying to not have a serious conversation, but try to make it a little more generic. Most of our episodes are not serious anyway. So these are random questions. So
is it like a rapid fire kind of a thing?
It is never rapid. We try to make it rapid. This is generally becomes the longest part of the episode in hindsight. How
any hampers? Like
No hamper, nothing. We don't have a sponsor. What is the one thing that you actually consume which people wouldn't think that you would be a large consumer of?
Pizza.
Hmm. Wow, really?
Pizza and noodles, both. Maggie.
See? Pizza, noodles and yoga can go together. We have broken that myth right now.
Absolutely.
What can you put together in an instant?
What can I put together in an?
In an instant.
As
what can I whip up? Anything. It could be food, it could be anything.
What can I put together? I can dance to any music you play.
Ah.
I can dance all night. I mean, this New Year, I was in Goa for 5 days. I danced every day for 14 hours. Every day.
Is that a yoga thing? Is that how you can do
and
it?
No alcohol, no smoking.
Maybe that's also the reason
nothing
why.
At all.
I think that has to be
absolutely nothing at all. And I was probably the only person in entire of Goa who had nothing at all and still was like...
Maybe that's why you were up for 14 hours a day.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody, I was like, so somebody came and asked me, bro, I went through this festival called Hilltop. Advertising is dead. People who are hearing it, stroke people who will know what the Hilltop festival is. So I was dancing with Star Wars glasses and like proper swords and stuff. Which is like neon lit. So somebody's like, bro, it's amazing. What are you on? So I said, Anulom Vilom. Anulom Vilom is a pranayama. She's like, what is that? What substance is it? I'm like, it's not a substance. It's a breathing practice. And he was like, what? So yeah, I can dance.
Yeah. He just thought you were on something and just said something.
Yeah. And I was doing something else also. So yeah. With dance.
Why do you love cricket so much?
I think cricket has evolved me into a lot of things and made me kind of... has opened up my spectrum of thinking. The people I've met from the international circuit in different countries. I was an official net bowler of the 2011 World Cup that India won. Like an official net bowler from the ICC. And every state had a set of 25 net bowlers. And from Tamil Nadu, I was one of them. 25, 30, how many ever they were. And I think cricket taught me a lot. It taught me patience. It taught me teamwork. It taught me some form of leadership skills also. So I was the captain of my college cricket team and we had a great season that year. And it taught me a lot about patience because I always keep saying the difference between good and great is patience. So I think cricket as a game has shaped me. So anybody calls me for cricket, even now I'm like, wow, just let me do everything else aside and let me go play some cricket.
Do you read a lot?
No. I used to read a lot of Supandi jokes, which is one page because I wasn't able to read a lot. But I've read a few books in my life.
Yeah.
I'm currently reading the autobiography of a yogi.
Ah, I've seen that around.
Yeah. Quite a bit.
So I'm a terrible reader. I try to read books, I never finish them. So I'm like, I recommend a lot of books, but I finish very few.
I never start only. So.
Ah, see, you don't even waste that time.
Yeah. I wouldn't say wasting time, but anyways.
Couple of chapters in. So at any point, I have like about 8 to 10 books, which I'm simultaneously trying
like
to
even
read.
Movies, I always ask for the climax and go watch it because I don't
That's
like it.
That's terrible behavior. That is just bad behavior. Like that is not what you should do. Please do not spoil it for others is my only...
No, that I don't typically do. That I don't typically do. I'm an adventure freak also, so yeah. Oh, I've jumped from the highest point in the world, bungee jumping. I'm a scuba diver. I've dived quite a bit. I'm a huge lover of water sports. I used to do theatre for 4 years. I've danced professionally for 5 years, so I've done a bunch of stuff.
Do you listen to a lot of podcasts? Try to?
Off late, I have started slowly, but not a lot.
Yeah.
But because I've...
You've also been on a
come
few.
On a few, and I thought it was just good to listen and figure out what it is.
So I call this my weekly therapy session because I sit and talk to people in a closed room and I just feel it's the most peaceful. Like, you know, like it's, I'm not worried about work. I'm not thinking of any of them. I'm just sitting in a room having a conversation with trying not to have too many other things in my mind. It's... That is being mindful.
Absolutely.
And why will advertising not die?
Well, I think the importance of every brand wanting to speak to the consumer will always be around. The mediums and the modes and the message might change. But I think slowly advertising stroke consumer marketing will become... not what the brand wants to talk to the consumer, but how the consumer talks to his or her friend about the brand. How every brand will say, how do I start becoming asking people, what's your Insta ID? What's your WhatsApp? So how does ek bahia ek bottle bisleri de do? You know, every brand wants to be the verb in their category. And I think continuously... more and more people starting to realize the importance of leading lives, making people's lives better. Funds are coming up right now saying we only invest in companies that does social impact or that has a impact thing, etc. People are also, even capitalists are starting to realize that we need to make a difference and improve, you know, lives of people and quality of living in making it much more easier. So I think this whole reason that people wanting to get out there will ensure that advertising is not dead. And I think more than just, if I have to, you know, use a better kind of thing, what I believe is it's not about hard work or, you know, making, coming up with the best campaign thought. Sometimes some very simple things will just change. You know, I mean, I think one of the brands increased the size of the cap of what they were selling and said 70% off for 100% more. And that just sold like there was no tomorrow. And at the end of the day, it's about how are you wanting to communicate to the consumer. And I also believe brands today that communicate with a certain sense of purpose is just becoming better and better. People are starting to relate. Like if I had gone and say, hey, you know what, I'm going to preach, come and change your life, I'm going to make it much better, follow celibacy, follow intoxication, they'd be like, hey guy, it's chill, we want to go and do, go to go and do what we like to do. You sit wherever you are and do what you want to do. But so we're saying, hey, you know what, you know, we're not trying to be a coach, we're not trying to be a mentor, we're not trying to be a guide, we're just trying to be your friend. And we want to listen to you. We're saying, say whatever you want to. Listen, I'll listen to you 100%. But give me 1 hour of your day. And just come. And just enjoy. We're not the best. We make mistakes. We continue to say sorry. We continue to make mistakes. But I think the fact that all of us in the room want that happiness on seeing somebody smile.
Yeah.
That kind of gives me. Like day before yesterday, somebody messaged me saying, you know what? My 15-year-old changed her life because of you. I said, this is what I thrive for.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an absolute pleasure. I think I thank Gayatri too for ensuring that she's brought me here, and I thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Yeah. And hopefully I'll do a lot more yoga. And
you must.
I must. And that's it for this episode of Advertising is Dead.